thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Not tomorrow.
Here's John Williams.
Thinking some today, though, then tomorrow. Taking off. How is this, John? Hi, this is John. It's 108. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here today until 3. It's Friday. We're going to close the show and get ready for Ro and Anna from the Blackhawks Convention. You're heading out there to the Blackhawks Convention. Look for Ro Khan, Anna DeVlantis. I guess Lauren Lapka is going to buzz out there, too. Lapka, you're going to run out there at the end of this show for Ro and Anna? You're going
to about to run over there now so I can finish the show with you from there.
Ah, good. Will you be able to do the Bright Side of Life segment with us?
That is my goal.
Oh,
so,
thank you so much. So,
99% sure that will happen.
Go, go, go.
Okay, I will.
And by the way, how's traffic on the way? Maybe you should look into that before you head on over there.
Luckily, I did. There's just a few closures around Grand Park, but otherwise, I don't think it's too bad. So
I like your chances, yeah. Are you going to drive over or walk, by the way?
I'm going to hitch a ride so that there's less traffic on the roads because of less cars.
I was yesterday trying to get to a restaurant on Clark just on the other side of the river, a short walk from here, but I had to get there right now because I was late. I jumped in a cab. Have you done this? And realized for the duration of the ride, I could have walked it faster than the cab ride.
Isn't that the worst?
It is the most frustrating thing because then you look up and you're at a red light and you think, okay, I can get out and walk through the next light before it even turns green. So, and it's gridlock ahead of that guy. So do I get out of the cab or do I, but then you know the cab's going to pass you by.
Right. No matter what you choose, it's going to be the worst option.
That's me. That is my life.
I feel the same way. It's like when you merge into a different traffic lane, now that one stops and the other one you just move from starts moving.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you better get running then, and then you'll say hi to us for the Bright Side of Life segment, correct?
Yes.
Very good. Lauren Lapka, she's heading on over to the Hilton for the Blackhawks Convention. It's kind of weird, but that's what they do. That's the 12th year in a row in the summertime. The players aren't busy. The coach isn't busy. Maybe they are, but they come into the city and they put on this shindig, and it's quite a do. It really is. So Ro and Anna, Lauren and company will be broadcasting. Kevin will be over there, too. And that'll be at 3 o'clock this afternoon. By the way, that place I went to was the new Let Us Entertain You restaurant. It's right on the other side of the city winery. So that when you're down on the river in Chicago, you're over by Trump Tower and Marina City. And on the south side of the river, if you will, on the south side of the river, they've got it all developed with the river walk. And there were some places for boats to dock. And they've got a couple of bars and restaurants on that side, but on the north side, it's not that developed. There's a new place called Pizzeria Trattoria, and it's the Let Us Entertain You group, and it's right on Clark Street. So once you cross the river going north on Clark, if you go down the steps, you'll find it there. We had a meeting with some of the Let Us Entertain You people, and so we were able to get a good table. And that was fantastic. If you were looking for a fun place to, and go early or make reservations. I'm not exactly sure how you're going to get there because it's very hot. It's very buzzing. There was a good crowd there. But why not? Because you're not up high. You are right down at the river level. You're not with the mob scene on the south side of the river. And in fact, you'd miss it when you take Clark over the river. There's a little blue awning. You take that down, and then you'll find this just really nice, elegant, fun place with really good food. We had a Greek salad. We had the watermelon salad with feta cheese, which when done perfectly is amazing, and it was. We had some fries with truffles, and then we did a pizza, a pepperoni pizza. And then, spritzes are all the rage in the summertime. They serve a limoncello spritz. It's a kind of a bubbly, limoncello-y drink that was just perfect for a sunny afternoon on the river. So thanks to them for hosting us and kind of trading some good ideas with us. By the way, our producer, Elif Garris, has returned from a three-week tour of the world. Was it 3 weeks that you were gone?
Yeah.
Wow. So does that wipe out your vacation for the year?
Mm-hmm.
So, Thanksgiving, Christmas, who needs them?
Yep.
You went to Turkey for about 10 days, then France for about a week, then back to Turkey for a little bit.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah. At this point, it's all the same.
So what time is it in Turkey? Where your brain is right now, it's
9:12.
Okay, so it's PM. Not too... So this is could work for you, right? I mean, you would still be up now.
For a couple more hours.
Yeah, and then when we get done with the show, you're toast.
Yeah.
How were your flights to and fro?
Well, I had a total of 8 flights in the last 3 weeks. But they were all, everything went smoothly, knock on wood, no delays.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you, but last year I had a 5-hour delay coming back to Chicago. So I was kind of nervous about that, but that didn't happen, so...
And Turkey was good?
Mm-hmm.
You have family there.
Yeah, my family's there, and it's sad leaving them. It's just, it's like so weird. It's just really weird that we have to live life this way, you know? Like, okay, having family in another state is one thing, but for them to be in a... I have to pay so much money to go see them, and they the same thing. It's pretty strange.
And there's probably no resolution to that either, right? You're
nope.
not going to pack up your bags and move to Turkey to be closer, nor are they going to do it here.
No.
So that's not an option, so there you are. And I think a lot of people can probably relate to that, Elif.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of people who have families that are not in Indiana. They're in, you know, South America or Europe or something, and... You got to save your money and plan all year long just to go see your family.
Exactly.
And then when you do, do you try and catch up or do you try not to catch up because you just want to live like a family or do you play tourist? Maybe a little of all of those things?
It depends. I just really, when I go, if it's the summertime, I still really want to go to the beach. So I'll... Just, you know, like have all my meals with my family and then go to the beach, do my thing, come back.
What was Paris like?
Oh, it was so cool. I loved it. And my mom came with me, which was nice because I had said I had broadcast it to the family. I said, I'm going. That's it. Because I've always gone to Turkey and nowhere else. So
you said, when I'm going to Turkey, I'm not going to stay in Turkey. I'm going to go to France as well.
Yeah,
that was the announcement.
If I'm there, I will come to Turkey, but I'm definitely doing something different.
A little Elif time, if you will.
Yeah.
And then your mom said she'd tag along.
Yeah, which made me very happy, of course, because we have a lot in common. And we just had a great time together.
I think that's nice, too, because I think a lot of people, having said that, hey, everybody, I'm going to France. I'm not going to spend all 3 weeks with y'all. Might be noticed to the family, I don't want you to come along. That's how that could be read.
Oh.
And then your mom raises her hand and says, ooh, I'll go along. It's nice that you are like, oh, swell, I'd love to have your company. That's nice for you and your mom. Were you able to use the French that you had practiced before you got over there?
Yeah, and I immediately thought of you in this moment. So I heard my first traces of French, which was very exciting, getting
yes.
on the plane there. And because, you know, then you're like, oh, this is happening. And the girl, there was a French woman and a French man talking to each other, and they sat at two different places on the plane. But the woman ended up in front of me, and she said something about her leg. And
I understood. No, that would be so awesome!
I understood that she said, is there enough room for leg space? And, because she was asking the guy that question, but I thought, I'm so glad I know the word jambe right now. Because if your right leg is shorter than your left leg.
One of the phrases that Elif was practicing before she went wasn't, could I see a menu? Where is the ATM machine? Is there a bathroom
right.
here? It was...
Ta jambe droite est plus longue que ta jambe gauche, which is actually
your right
longer.
Leg is longer than your left leg.
Yeah.
Which... I was ridiculing you because I said, Elif, you're not going to need that sentence. You don't even need it in America. What makes you think when you're in France, you're suddenly going to have to come up to somebody and say, hey, one of your legs is longer than the other. And then they were talking about legs on the plane.
Yeah. Which I guess is appropriate on the plane.
Cause right. The leg space is an issue.
That's like always talked about on the plane.
Were you just hoping then that one guy had one block shoe, something that would indicate to you that your sentence is now ready?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, that didn't happen.
And so then you saw the Tour Eiffel and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, we did. We didn't go up close to any of those major sites like Notre Dame. We saw we did a Seine River tour, which is maybe what kind of like what you're doing.
Yeah. What did Notre Dame look like, though?
I
mean, was it obviously burned?
Scaffolding and all of it around?
I saw the scaffolding, but I couldn't see many details. It was just kind of eerie and weird going past
it. Well, it didn't look caved in or blackened by the fire.
Not from where I was, anyway.
My understanding is they are now doing some sort of services there, inside or out, but they are doing mass. Not, I don't know how, but they're sort of honoring the church still with some sort of Sunday services.
That's good.
So you went by that. So what did you do? What was the highlight of your Paris trip?
Oh, the Palace of Versailles.
Yeah.
So that's something I've been wanting to do for a really long time.
Did you tour the palace or did you just do the gardens?
Both.
If I had to do it again, I would just do the gardens.
Yeah, because you need a whole day for that thing.
Right. And, you know, I hate to say this, and apologies if you've built a castle or a palace, but after a while, the cathedrals, castles, and palaces all kind of blend one into the other. You know,
but seeing their bedrooms, the king and the queen's bedrooms, was so cool, and where the babies were born and everything, and seeing the material and, like, the... Have you seen the biopic, Marie Antoinette?
I don't know that I have, no.
Okay. Well, there are some scenes that are shot in the palace, and I kept thinking of that because they have, like, this separator, gold separator thing in the bedroom where people would watch them go to bed wake up.
Yeah, think about that. The royalty were so royal that you might, if you were lucky enough, be given an audience to watch them go to bed.
But that sucks, though. If you're royalty. And...
Right. I take a pass on that.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the equivalent of that would be Donald Trump or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, you know, whoever. They're about to go to bed now, and you're all standing there lovingly gazing at them. He's putting on his pajamas with the crest. And then they go to bed, and then maybe you're lucky enough to watch them rise and shine.
And you have do not the baby. Want...
And have the baby?
Yeah.
You were able to watch? I mean,
they watched them.
The
they watched
of
her
that?
Have her baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. A little privacy here, please.
Not so
much. Yeah. Well, Versailles is wonderful. And so now you're back and in the saddle, huh?
Yeah.
Well, good to see you, Elif.
You too.
Ashley did a swell job and Vivian did a swell job.
Good.
Jay's been helpful, but we're sure glad to have you back in into the studio. Today is Friday. Monday, I'm taking off for 2 weeks. So
in the same place?
Yeah, I'll be in where we were going to be with the Kelly Cruz folks going up the Seine. A bunch of WGN listeners, 150 of us, are going to travel up there for the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. I know that that's already come and gone, the exact date, but we did want it to coincide with the 75th year and summer, and so there we will go. It's 1:21. This is WGN. There was a topic that has come up a couple of times this week. We haven't had a chance to really discuss it much, but I said, text me about your wage. A couple of interesting texts came in, and I'm going to share them with you in just a minute. The city of Chicago wants it to go to $15 an hour as quick as they can, which would still be a couple of years out. And I asked you how you were getting along on what you're getting along on, and that's up next. Text is just poured into our show. I am deeply hurt. I want Lori Lightfoot... it says, I am deeply hurt for what Lori Lightfoot said. Sincerely, boo-hoo-hoo the clown. The story is only still, I think, getting a little traction this week in Chicago because the National Fraternal Order of Police, who seemed to say, hey, we'll join the fight. Nobody asked them to, and they don't need to, but they now are sticking up for one of the vice presidents at the union in Chicago. And I don't know how that's playing out. Is that going to be the news click, did we say? Are we going to make that the news click? Should Lori apologize? Or maybe that was the news click. I have to go check on that. Yay, welcome back, Elif. Hope you had a relaxing vacation. And about traveling to see family, John, my sons live in Los Angeles and Nashville. Flights are expensive, and so are the lodgings and the meals. It's hard to get time off from work. Smile, upside down smile face. I guess that would be a sad face. It's amazing to me that $15 an hour is the goal for the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, and that the state is going to raise it to 15 by 2025, right? So in 6 years, it'll be 2025, it'll be $15 an hour. The city wants to make it $15 an hour by 2021, I think. They want to sort of speed that up. There was a story about it in the Tribune the other day. And I said, well, tell me what you're earning and how's that going for you? And we got some interesting texts. John, I make $10.45 an hour and I get paid every 2 weeks. My take-home pay because of taxes and my low wages is just over $600. I get paid every 2 weeks, just over $600, of which only an amount like a bit over $100 is what I have left over until the next paycheck for transportation and other living expenses. The minimum wage raise has been long in coming. But what a time for it to come now when Illinois is not out of the woods with its own expenses. Nice of you to worry about that. $10.45 an hour. John, I'm the general manager for an entertainment center in Vernon Hills, where the cost of living is higher than in the city. My company pays significantly more per hour. Almost half of my staff commutes 2 to 3 hours a day because we pay that $15 an hour starting. Good for them. John, $8.50 is minimum wage in Illinois. $8.50. And I know big factories that are paying over 50 temporary workers that wage, $8.50. And there is a used tire shop in my town that is only paying employees there $6 an hour. I asked them how he could pay so little when the minimum wage is $8.50, and the guy said, if you have employees that are three or fewer, you don't have to pay the minimum wage. There are people taking this job at, what was it, $8.50 an hour, and I don't know why.
I could be wrong, but my theory on all of this, too, is that the minimum wage used to be, it's much more widely used now than it used to be, right? That it was only for very entry-level jobs, and you just tended to make more than the minimum wage.
McDonald's.
I think now, but even just momentarily at McDonald's. But I think now there's a much wider sort of floor of people starting jobs at minimum wage and then staying there.
It's what it sounds like. And actually, this guy's talking about not $8.50 an hour. He was talking about $6 an hour, 50 people working at this one shop. And he says, I don't know why people do that. My guess is because they're not documented and they'll take whatever they can get. But still, John, Chicago just had 3 or 4 years with $1 per year increases. I hear you about $15 an hour, but remember, we're a global economy. A company in Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin paying the federal minimum wage puts companies in Chicago and suburbs paying a much higher minimum wage at a competitive disadvantage. Right, so it's easier for the companies to go somewhere else? Okay, that's just where that story is. Stay tuned. Oh, look, there's Kelly Leonard. Oh, good, he's coming in. Do you think that your attitude about your health has anything to do with your wellness? Kelly's talking about that in his podcast. Listen to this after this.
Life is short and sweet, concise like a haiku.
It was not appropriate for me to say that out loud.
I love traffic. I love the colors yellow and green. I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about
this. She was talking about a vice president for the Fraternal Order of Police, and he's in our studio now, Patrick Murray. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for enlightening me.
I like talk radios when they talk about things. Let's talk about things.
This is the politically correct thing you do. Door.
We talk about things, we talk about things.
You know, if that's how she feels, I don't want an apology.
On and on and on and on and on.
These are the people running our city, by the way, and safeguarding our lives. 137 on WGN, this is John.
Golden age, serenade, watch it come alive. Every day is animated. Oh, oh.
Sun up, sun down.
Let it out, and we'll be making it what we want it to be. Scream and you shout, let it out, and we'll be making it what we want it to be.
Quick correction. I want to make sure I got it right. Earlier, I was raving about this new restaurant on the river by the Let Us Entertain You group. It's Pizzeria Portofino. I'm not sure if I said that right, but it's new, and just look for the line. It's on Clark Street, and it's really good. Before we go to Kelly, hey, Sally, this is John. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
John, I was going to say that I believe that the texter who sent to the information about $8.50 an hour is wrong, that it's only $8.25, and that if you go over the state line here in Illinois, it's into Wisconsin. A lot of companies are moving from Illinois are moving up there because it's only $7.25 an hour.
God, that is...
And then with Governor Pritzker's changes, It's making it more difficult. So I thought that maybe.
Well, whose side are you on this one? So who, I mean, what would your advice?
I would say that we need to be, that right now it's 825, but it needs to go up.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you on that one. Thanks for the phone call. You know, if you're on the company side and you want companies to come here and do well, and we do, you know, let's pay people 75 cents an hour. That'll be great for the companies. And then at some point you say, no, let's not do that. Let's pay people a livable wage. Because, by the way, if we don't ask companies to do it, pay them a livable wage, you and I will. They're going to be on some sort of assistance. We will, one way or another, subsidize these companies that don't pay a better wage. Think about that for a minute. By the way, Kelly Leonard is in our studio. Thank you for the call, and thanks for holding. Hi, Kelly. How are you? Good to see you.
Good. Thank you.
So, Kelly is a person of many hats. You hear his podcast, perhaps, here at WGN Radio. And I wrote down your new title, Kelly. How long have you had this title? It's the Director of Insights and Applied Improvisation at the Second City.
Yeah, they let me make up my own title, so I went for the longest one possible.
You also do a podcast here at WGN, Getting to Yes, and I want to talk to you about your latest episode. But so you work at Second City.
Yep.
Do you do stand-up or are you management?
I'm management.
Did you ever do stand-up there?
No. Well, we don't do stand-up. We do sketch and improv. And I didn't do that either.
That's what I meant. And so how do you get a job at Second City if you're not a comedic actor?
I started at Second City in 1988, and my first job was as a dishwasher. That's how you start.
Really?
Yeah, and the other guy who got hired that week as a dishwasher, his name is Jon Favreau. He directs films.
Yeah, heard of him too.
Yep.
So then what is this title of yours, Director of Insight and Applied Improvisation?
So I ran Second City essentially from 1992 to 2015, and then I wrote my book, Yes And, which is kind of how we take improvisational skills into business and also into life. And after I wrote the book and I stepped down from producing, I started focusing on not improvisation on stage, but improvisation off stage. And that led me to create a number of collaborations, one with the University of Chicago, a thing called the Second Science Project that looks at behavioral science through the lens of improvisation. And then, tied to this podcast, this particular episode, we created an improvisation for caregivers program. And we did this with a group called Caring Across Generations, and we were funded by the Cleveland Clinic. And what we assumed, and I think we're right, is that people in the care community, and this is everything from home caregivers to doctors and nurses to chaplains, anyone in that system, patients too, could benefit from having the skills of an improviser, which means you have to navigate difficult situations.
What are the skills of an improviser?
You've got to collaborate well. You have to listen well. You have to shift focus.
Improviser is an improvisational comedy?
Well, any kind of improvisation. So, you know, improvising artists, right? So dancers improvise, musicians improvise, actors improvise. To do that, when you're not working with sort of a preset script or chords or whatever that are set for you, you really have to have these skills of listening, focus, agility, collaboration. And it turns out, right, in a very busy world where there's a lot of information being thrown at you, those skills come in handy as well.
Okay, so we'll now go on to the podcast.
Yeah.
But I just think that's fascinating because when you watch sketch comedy happening spontaneously on stage, you think those people are really funny. But it turns out, it sounds like you're saying, they're working within a sort of set of parameters. There's a skill set they're utilizing, the skills of improvisation. And if that works for comedy and we all laugh, that's great. But I think it's a brilliant, intuitive leap to say, let's take that skill set and apply it not just to making people laugh at a club.
Right.
Let's make businesses better at what they do by using some of these very same skills.
Yeah.
So then do you put on a quote-unquote comedy workshop for a company?
Yeah, so it's the fastest-growing part of our business, Second City Works. And what we do, largely, is go into businesses and train their people. A lot of it is very bespoke work, but it's all using these games and exercises. And this is why the behavioral science community was so interested in this, because, for example, in behavioral economics, we know people's default setting is either to say no or to do nothing. And what's the principal rule of improvisation? Yes,
yes and.
So when and we have exercises that show people when they do it how good it feels to yes and, how bad it feels to receive a no, and how bad it can feel to say a no. And what we know about learning is the best way to learn is not just for someone to tell you something, but for you to learn information, embody it, and spit it back.
But if in this business meeting, you know, we think we should paint the walls yellow and you think we should paint them green, is the thing you're saying, I should say, no, I don't want to paint them yellow. I should say, yes, you want to paint them yellow, and I think green or a different color is also something we should consider.
Yeah, yes and isn't about, you know, not saying no, because we all have to do that as well. It is most opportune at the beginning of a brainstorm. It's most opportune
right.
when you're beginning a relationship or a communication or a collaboration, when you want to have kind of crazy ideas live a little, because the problem with saying no all the time is people stop bringing you their interesting ideas.
Oh, I've been to meetings with the committee of no before.
Yes,
and it's the saddest thing, because it's people who think they're safeguarding the corporate trust, the
right.
image, the brand, the profit, and so they're going to beat back any idea that could be risky or maybe costly. Let's not talk about that. So then you do one for caregivers.
Yeah.
And what was it that you discovered in this podcast that you did?
So these guys, Stephen Treziak and Anthony Mazzarelli, have this new book called Compassionomics. And what they did is they both work at Cooper University Healthcare. And they were tasked with finding evidence that good behavior, compassion, empathy, all that, actually, is there data behind it that is makes you a better physician, that maybe can improve health outcomes for patients? And they found a ton of evidence. A lot of it was studies going back hundreds of years, but there was a lot of recent evidence. So they go through in this book, and they talk about the fact that we kind of are in a compassion crisis right now. Medical systems are very complex. People are becoming more self-focused rather than others-focused. And this flies in the face of the evidence that, here I'll give you an example. There's studies out there that say essentially 50% of patients don't take their right dosage of meds when they go home. And the study that they did showed that when they were working with a doctor they trusted, it was something like 98%. I mean, people behaved better. They did what they were supposed to do because they knew someone cared, someone was talking to them, someone was seeing them. And that's a lot of what was in our work when we did this Improvisation for Caregivers program, was teaching people the ways in which they can see another human being, how they can sort of physically do it, how they can do it with their words, how they can do it with their actions. The evidence shows us the same thing, that this ability to see each other can make you better.
I understand how empathy might beget better outcomes, but is it also personal to the individual? That is, if I'm thinking more positive thoughts, might I enable my body
yes.
to be better as well?
Yeah, totally. That is absolutely. I don't think that this is a surprise to a lot of people, that, you know, the better attitude you have, the better outcome you think you could have, hope, all that helps you during the process. It lowers your blood pressure. It does a lot of really positive things. And again, the thing I love about this book is, you know, we preach this at Second City primarily with our instincts, because we've done it for so long, and it's worked with the people that we've worked with. The nice thing about this book and these guys is they can back it all up with data. So if you're skeptical about this, they have data points that they can point to say that, for example, loneliness is something that contributes to really, really poor health. They know when you come into a medical situation, the more people you touch, the more people who are friendly to you, who care about you, who talk to you, who use your name, little things like that, use your name, that all of that contributes to your better health outcome.
The book is called Compassionomics. The authors were interviewed by Kelly Leonard. His podcast here at WGN Radio is Getting to Yes And. So is your podcast, your conversation with them, geared to the medical professionals or to all of us as individuals, patients, say?
Yeah, it's to everyone. And, you know, there's some very personal stories they tell. Anthony had a health crisis in his family. I tell the story of my daughter, Nora, who my podcast listeners know. She was diagnosed with cancer a year ago. So we have been living this experience at Lurie Children's Hospital. And I know this firsthand in terms of when the nurses come into the room, when you can engage them in conversation, when you find out, like, what kind of dog they have, and then they find out that you like dogs. Like, the whole experience is better. It's better for us as parents. It's better for Nora as a patient. And it's better for them. I've talked to the nurses about this. It's like, no, you want to be in the room with the person who you know respects you and is kind to you.
I'm not surprised to hear that, but I am a little surprised if you say there's data to suggest that that warm fuzzy actually improves the outcome of the medicine or helps fight the disease.
Yeah, they cite numerous studies about this.
Because it sounds anecdotal, or it sounds like pseudoscience.
It's not. I get what you mean. This is the footnotes in this book are obnoxiously long, and these are sort of rigorous research. They talk about HIV intervention, and there was when providers knew that HIV patients, when they knew them as a person, the patients had 33% higher odds of adherence to therapy and 20% higher odds of no detectable virus in the blood. That's kind of astounding. Those are numbers that are based on this connection between the healthcare person and the patient.
I guess that transactional thing, if I have more empathy to you, if we're communicating better, then maybe I will more deliberately follow good practices, good principles. So there's two things here then, right?
Yeah.
One is just making me a more conscientious patient.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is maybe literally my body doing its own thing as well.
Yeah. The other thing that's at play here is they talk a lot about doctor interruptions. So I think I don't have the stat in front of me, but it is something like the average time for a doctor to interrupt you is like 12 seconds.
What do you mean by that, interrupt you? The doctor to interrupt you.
So you're starting to tell you how you feel, and then the doctor stops you and asks some question. Not good. Not good.
I thought you were going to tell me how long the average doctor interaction with a patient is, and I would imagine that's a matter of minutes,
well,
too.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. You know, when the doctor is interacting with you, but they're looking at a computer screen.
Oh, Lord. Or their phone.
Or their phone. So one of the things that these guys talk about is the importance of letting a patient talk. And part of our research with the Second Science Project is just about this, which is that the only way you get to really understand someone's point of view or have them kind of share their truth is many questions over a long period of time. Because we don't share, especially in a medical situation, a lot of times we're not sharing what's really wrong right away. It might be embarrassing to us. It might be have some shame attached to it. But if you give someone time enough, they are going to tell you their thing.
So I know all of that, and I'm a person with some confidence. I can walk into a room and talk to people. But I'll tell you this, Kelly. My mom is ill right now. She's recovering, and she's going to be home soon, we think. But she's spent since Memorial Day either in the hospital or in some sort of transitional rehabilitative care place to get her to go back home. When the doctor walks into the room, we haven't seen him for a while. We have a million questions. We are so timid. And we think that his time is so precious.
Yeah.
The fact that he's arrived. Oh, my gosh. And so you almost choke. You don't want to be too greedy with this man's time and his expertise. And yet you're desperate for some sort of feedback from him. And when he walks away, it has often for us felt very unsatisfying.
Yep.
And I guess that's my problem, right? I guess
sure.
I need to be more proactive. But damn, doctor, you must know that's the one time in 10 days you've come into this room.
Yeah.
And that everything you do is vital to us. Why don't you act like that more?
Yeah, so this speaks to status. And something that we work on a lot at Second City, because obviously the concept of status is huge in comedy, right? Every comedy duo, high status, low status guy. And what we recognize is that when you have high status, people are timid around you. They don't always tell you the truth. So what you
yes.
need to do is lower your status for them. You know what you do? You sit down and you're lower than the person you're talking to. You take that time. You use words of like, I am here. And this is, look, our oncologist does this.
Who's the you in this? The doctor?
The doctor.
The doctor, okay.
The doctor, yeah. So our oncologist at Lurie, Jen Rychek, is amazing. And she has all the power in the situation, and
yes.
she gives it all to us.
Stay right there. We're visiting with Kelly Leonard. You should hear this podcast regularly. You should hear this episode today. It's just dropped. The podcast, wherever you get podcasts, is called Getting to Yes And. That's the title of the podcast. This episode is on Compassionomics. Kelly Leonard is in our... Kelly Leonard... is in our studio. You hear him a lot on this radio station, and I'm sure you've heard of his podcast. You listen to Getting to Yes, and in the latest episode that dropped Tuesday, Compassionomics authors Stephen Treziak, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yep.
And Andy Mazzarelli were interviewed by you, talking about how attitude, empathy, and some of the skills that a good sketch comedy artist would know could be helpful in helping people get well.
100%.
You were talking about your daughter's doctor.
Yeah, Jen. So one of the things about our oncologist that she did right away, and this ties to science, that we have a tendency to think people don't want to hear personal details about ourselves, but actually that ends up being a really important thing. She was a social worker. She was a dancer. She lived in New York. She lived in Philadelphia. I know all these details about her that she shared up and really created common ground, and she knows as well. And she and Nora have this fantastic relationship. I mean, the other day, Nora gave her a note. Nora was like, do you remember when you told me you had died cancer? And I was really upset. She goes, yeah. And she goes, right after you said something like, well, do you like sports? And he's like, that was a bad thing for you to do.
Oh, that's your daughter telling the doctor.
That's telling the doctor. And Jen goes, Nora, that's a very good note. I'm going to take that.
That's a really nice flow of information back
totally.
And forth, which isn't, how are you feeling today? Did you take your meds? But we're two human beings relating here.
Yep. Well, and so Nora feels seen. And look, Jen feels seen, you know, and we have a relationship that is honest, and that, you know, this sucks. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And, you know, Ann and I, you know, we had just developed this Improv for Caregivers program right before this hit us. And so we've just used everything that we created in this program to make the experience have some joy, and to really navigate what is really difficult and hard.
All of these things have come together then, that Second City program that you all have for caregivers. Also, your interview with the Compassionomics authors,
yep.
Which is on your Getting to Yes and podcast. And then your family's struggle with your daughter's health. Well, good luck to you all on that.
And thank you
for sharing this positivity. It would be easy to sulk away, but that's not Kelly Leonard's way. It wasn't his dad's Roy either.
No.
And that's the same family. It's nice to see you in the studio. Come by. Let's talk about your next podcast after you crank that out, too.
I love it.
Kelly Leonard, remember, wherever you listen to podcasts, look for Getting to Yes And. It's 158 on WGN.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
You know, like...
Here's John Williams.
Ah, the weather's nice. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here weekdays from 1 to 3 in Studio D.
Lord have mercy.
Studio A, Rokon, Anna DeVlantis. But today, their studios moved to the Chicago Hilton. They're at the Blackhawks Convention. You go into the Hawks shindig, look for Ro and Anna. And Kevin and Lauren Lapka and whoever else is... tagging along with them from the radio station here. They're going to be at the Blackhawks Convention doing Rose Show. That'll be a lot of fun. My Saturday show will also originate from there tomorrow. I won't be doing it. I think Pete McMurray is, and that means it's going to be even sweller than had I been able to do it. So you all have a real good time at the Blackhawks Convention, and look for us at WGN. I want to talk about a petition to move the date of Halloween. We'll get to that in a second. But I just wanted to just mention a tweet that the president put out today. This is the president of the United States tweet today. At Fox News is at it again. So different from what they used to be during the 2016 primaries and before. Proud warriors, exclamation point. Now new Fox polls, which have always been terrible to me. They had me losing big to Crooked Hillary. Have me down to Sleepy Joe, even considering the fact that I have gone through, and then he goes on. But I just want to focus on the first part of that tweet. Fox News is at it again. What is Fox News at again? What is the it in that? They put out a poll. They have no interest in putting out polls that are inaccurate. Fox News, CNN, all of them, their stock and trade is, at the end of the day, accuracy and honesty. They want to be as correct as they can. They did a poll. It shows that Joe Biden would be Donald Trump if the election were today or tomorrow. Maybe that's not what would happen, but that's what their poll says. So what is the it that they're at again? Fox News is at it again. And then he writes, so different from what they used to be during the 2016 primaries and before. Proud warriors. That's a compliment that I don't even think Fox News wants. because Fox News is a news organization. They were not proud warriors. Listen, I watch the talk shows. I know who and what we're talking about. But Fox News actually delivers news. And I think Fox News in 2016 and 2019 are actually trying to tell you what the news is. As much as they look and act like state television, I don't think they want the state to say that. And so here's Trump just going, no, what the heck? I'll take it. Let's, they're state TV. He says they're at it again, so different from what they used to be before they were proud warriors. Now their polls have me losing to Sleepy Joe, as though what? They should come up with different polls? That's not how polls work. That's not what polls are. Ooh. They've got you down to Sleepy Joe. Well, prove them wrong again. It worked last time. But you can't be mad at the messenger. He was on Sean Hannity last night. He was talking about the Mueller investigation and the Mueller testimony. This is the last thing I'll say about the president today, but you should hear this too.
Why is it important to get to the bottom of this from your perspective?
Because this should never happen to another president of the United States again. This was a fake witch hunt, and it should never be allowed to happen to another president again. This was treason. This was high crimes. This was everything as bad a definition as you want to come up with. This should never be allowed to happen to our country again.
And in that case, he's not talking about somebody meddling with the election, but rather the investigation into what happened. And I think when the president throws around the T word, he should be very careful about that. I know Trump's not careful with his words or even his thoughts, but I wish he wouldn't accuse, I don't know, Bob Mueller or the team that investigated him of treasonous acts.
There are a lot of times when he accuses others of doing what others are accusing him of, right?
I almost wanted to say before we play the audio, just so you know, he's not talking about himself.
I mean, if you listen to that with that, you know, with the idea that it's Nancy Pelosi or Jerry Nadler or someone, it's perfect.
That's their line about him. That's why, to be honest with you, I don't want this thing. The podcast, The Mincing Rascals. Elif, did we drop The Mincing Rascals podcast? Is that up? It just went up today. We had a technical glitch. It didn't go up yesterday, so it's up there now. But
was the glitch where you were editing things to make you sound smarter?
Yeah, and we didn't have enough time. So I said, I don't think that the end game for the Mueller investigation was, therefore, sufficient evidence equals impeachment. I have no desire for that. I mean, I wasn't even thinking along those lines is my point. I just wanted to know what happened. I just wanted to know, were there crimes and were we meddled with? We were meddled with, and maybe there weren't crimes. That's where we are today. I'm satisfied with that, even if I don't like the end result. But I never felt that the purpose of this was to set up an impeachment. I don't think Democrats are doing themselves or anybody a favor by using that as a sort of premise to it. People are tired of it. We know what we know. And you have a remedy if you don't like this president in 2 years, and you can reelect him if you want. But I think that the investigation itself was meritorious, even if you didn't like the outcome or the process itself. It was warranted. Okay, I'm done now. Thank you for that, Elif.
Now you want to change Halloween?
In 3, 2, 1, hit it.
On October 31, when the sun goes to rest, it's the night of Halloween when fun is at its best. As we say farewell to gloom, Mrs. Pooch rides a broom. Every pumpkin round the place becomes a funny face. Dressed in white, the spirits fall.
How did we find this version? This do we have a gramophone in there that we're playing this on?
Pretty jack-o'-lanterns glow everywhere that you go. There is fun for everyone, October 31.
I like that. All right, turn off the music. Turn off that music! I'll come up there!
Yes, it was recorded on a gramophone, according to Jay. I'm just kidding. He goes, no.
CNN reports, there are lots of reasons to hate holidays, traffic, awkward family reunions, expensive gifts. But if there's one celebration absent from all of the holiday drama, it's Halloween. It's too bad that more times than not, the sugar-laden holiday is set right in the middle of the week, though, when would-be revelers have to get to bed early, maybe fight rush hour traffic. There's a petition aiming to change that. It says here, this time, instead of demanding Hashtag justice for ASAP, Rocky, or storming Area 51. There's a petition lobbying to bump Halloween from October 31st to the last Saturday of the month.
Do you see who's behind the petition?
The petition, launched last year by the nonprofit Halloween and Costume Association.
Nonprofit?
I know. That's what it says here, Steve. Argues that moving the date of Halloween will lead to a safer, Steve. Evidently, you don't care about making Halloween safer. Longer, stress-free celebration. Who couldn't want that?
Especially the costume dealers.
The association did not respond to requests for further comment. Well, they should. I mean, so what would a rigorous interview of them sound like?
Right.
How would we grill them? We'd say, wait a minute, you represent the very industry that you're lobbying for. And they'd say, yeah. Well, so that's okay. That's you, Ellen. Reach out, touch faith. It's not you. Oh, you know what that is? That's the remote. That's Lauren Lapka and company, yeah.
She likes to rock out before the show.
Lapka, what are you doing over there, for crying out loud? So
is
anyway,
listening?
I turned her down. Let me see if I'll turn her back up. Hey, Lapka, are you over there?
Yeah, I was saying that was totally not me, but I do like that song.
Oh, that okay, was who was it then?
No, that was you, Lapka.
I don't know. There's a lot of people here. Could have been anybody.
Yeah, could have been anybody.
People say it could have been anybody.
So who's on board? Halloween moves from the 31st to the last Saturday of the month.
We are in real danger of losing Halloween as a kid's holiday. It is soon going to not be a kid's holiday at all.
Kind
of. Because of these adults who want to dress up like princesses. And
drink.
And drink. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
Well, it is. I get their argument. You know, that if we do it closer to daylight instead of nighttime, and if we
do it on a
Saturday, it would be safer.
That's not their argument. That's what they're saying.
But if they had it on a Saturday, it'd be easier to throw parties and they'd make more money.
We continue to get jacked around by people who want to make money off things, and this was just another example of that. All this is an effort to make more money. And it's under the guise of caring about us.
Okay, so how about this?
Have your own. You can have a Halloween party on the 25th.
I don't care so much about the motive. If the Halloween and Costume Association had shockingly said, let's move it to Saturday because that'll run the register more for us, I still think that a lot of people would be behind it. I mean, if you are a parent of children, would you rather do Halloween on a Wednesday at 5 p.m. or a Saturday at 7 p.m.?
Well, I would hope Wednesday. I certainly would have rather, I would have done that because it's the unique part of the holiday. You dress up, you go to school in your costume, you go trick-or-treating. It's a neighborhood party, you know, where you're out and you see your neighbors for the last time before May. And, you know, that's all good.
Okay, 312-981-7200. Well, there's the Skittles and M&M of this thing. Where are you? Should we leave Halloween on October 31 when the sun goes to rest? Or should we move it to a Saturday so as to make it more convenient for us?
You know, I still don't, and this is just me being old now, but you know, the
kind of.
I miss the St. Patrick's Day parade on St. Patrick's Day. I understand why they did it, and I think that's different than the Halloween trick-or-treating.
Why did they move St. Patrick's Day?
Just because no one in the city of Chicago was going to work, particularly the city workers.
It was too popular, yeah.
Well, there was a lot of lost productivity, and they could focus more on a Saturday.
I don't mind them moving. I would be happy to move the 4th of July.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't know you.
You know, I mean, really? It was kind of the 2nd of July.
So
anyway,
what would you do on the 4th of July? So they moved it in this week, this year. But this year, it's the Saturday is the 2nd of July. Then on Monday, the 4th comes around. What do you do? Just pretend it's not the 4th of July?
I just think, because when the 4th of July is on a Thursday, talk about non-productivity. Then you've got the 3rd of July at noon.
That's what we call a holiday.
Nothing happens.
Non-productivity.
Then you got the 4th. Now, what is that? Now, what is that? I have... Here's who we're listening to right now. We have... We can listen to commercials. That is on. We can listen to traffic. We can listen to news.
I've got nothing up at my mic.
We can listen to the producer. That's Ella. And... And we can listen to me. And these sounds are coming on our radio station. Well, we'll just continue to plow on. Okay, so here's the deal.
Can I just say one more thing?
Oh, sure.
The name of the holiday, what is it again?
4th of July.
Thank you very much.
312-981-7200. Tell us the wisdom of moving days that better accommodate us human beings. I mean, really, who's in charge, the calendar or the human beings? This is John, Steve sounds allergic to fun.
Well, that's not untrue.
231 texted in and said, how about moving the Super Bowl to Saturday night? That is a good conversation.
And that's something different. Yeah, I like that.
And, you know, that's not tied to the 773. Then let's move Christmas to the last Monday of December. Well, you can't do that. What with Jesus and all?
Jesus, Thomas Jefferson.
Welcome to capitalism, Steve Bertrand. If they want to make money, where do we start there, Ms. Garris? First caller is Norm. Hey, Norm, you're on WGN Radio. Hi.
Hello.
What do you think?
That's why I called in, was Super Bowl needs to go to Saturday.
Yeah.
There's so much productivity loss on Monday with sick calls or people reviewing the game. It costs American industry millions of dollars.
You know,
at least if it played on Saturday, the people would have time to sober up on Sunday.
They always come up with those statistics about the zillions of dollars lost. I never knew anybody who went to work after a Super Bowl party the Monday and they were not productive. They couldn't do their job. I mean, really, does that actually compromise companies' profits?
I worked in a employee benefits program office, and I was much older than anybody else in the office because it was a job I took after I retired from American Airlines. And I'll tell you, the huddles of people between 8 a.m. and noon talking about the game was just endless.
How about that? Well, at least they were there, I guess. I was thinking along those lines. But that they were there doesn't mean they were doing their jobs. Norm, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, John.
Have a good day. This is line, I don't see a name, but line 5. Hi, you're on WGN. This is John.
Hi, John and Steve. This is Paul.
Hey, how are you? You're on the air.
Good. Here's the story. Holidays are meant to be kind of a shakeup, right? Fun to see them come and go, and if they interrupt the world you live in, that's naturally how holidays should work. Now, the productivity aspect and all those things that go with it, I can understand, but the idea is a holiday is something that's mainly a holiday, and therefore I think it should be just left alone. And
yeah,
if productivity is a problem, that's an individual's problem,
right?
Not a society's problem.
Yeah. You know, 630 just texted in and said, so can we round our birthday down to the nearest Saturday? But birthdays are kind of like Halloween, right? What day is going to come on this year? Am I going to be lucky? Will it be on a Friday or a Monday and I'll have a long weekend on the weekend and then it'll be even easier still, that sort of thing.
Right. And, you know, industries that, you know, let's say, for example, 4th of July this year, fall in the middle of the week. But there's industries that use that to their advantage because then they get the business after the holiday, before the holiday.
I appreciate you listening. Thank you for the call.
Likewise.
Have a good day. Hey, Brian, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
You know, I think the pizza lobby, if there is one, would be really mad at this this Halloween lobby because Halloween is the biggest, one of the biggest days for pizza next to the Super Bowl. There's four major days for pizza, and one of them is Halloween. So there's more options on a Saturday for people to take their kids elsewhere. So they take them into other towns, they take them to grandma's house, and then they might end up going to a different chain like an Applebee's or something else, like a sit-down, as opposed to coming home during the week,
wow,
having to go out, take the kids, and then hurry up, order the pizza. So a lot of people in the pizza industry would probably end up losing more money.
I'm out of time.
Actually, I know that for a fact.
Yeah, this is a direction I in no way anticipated. I got to go, but are the other 2 days the day before Thanksgiving?
The other days are it's Halloween.
Yeah.
It's just the Super Bowl.
Right.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And it is Black Wednesday.
Black Wednesday. Black Wednesday.
Right.
That is so
Black
the day.
Wednesday and Black Friday, too.
So the day before and the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. Hey, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate your help.
No problem.
A little trivia there for you. Hey, Steve, there's a good trivia question. Name the five biggest pizza-selling days, or name three of them. And we just got all five. It's time for WGN Radio News. It is sponsored by Team Hochberg. Steve, right here on this radio station, and I went on a little tear about the president's tweet and then a couple of other things. And so now we got all of these texts coming in, and I appreciate all of your thoughts. But this one just kind of made me laugh.
Yeah?
No, really, I do.
I'm sure you do. It's just funny the way you said that.
Well, the people that agree with me, why wouldn't I appreciate that? But the people that don't agree with me and listen to this show and station, I very much appreciate, because I think these are trying times for all of us. And when the president says that the Mueller investigation was treasonous, I resent him using that word. But maybe you don't feel the same way I do. And yet there you are listening to our radio station. And I very much appreciate that. I try to be cognizant of that all the time, even as I speak my truths. But this person, 269, just tweeted in and they said, the president should never happen again. I don't know. That just made me kind of laugh. The president should never happen again. I'm not sure if they missed a word or if that was their thought generally, but there that is. We also talked about where our news click at WGNradio.com is going to be about moving the date of Halloween. Let's just go around the horn on this. Bertrand, should we move Halloween to the last Saturday of the month?
Of course not.
Elif, should we move Halloween to the last Saturday of the month?
No.
Yeah. I'm not all bent out of shape about it. I don't really care.
Let's move it to mid-April, because that's kind of a downtime for holidays.
Somebody said, what are you going to do, move New Year's Eve? Well, you can't move New Year's Eve, because the name of it is New Year's Eve. So New Year's Eve has to be on New Year's Eve. You can't make that the second Saturday of January.
Well, you were talking about the 4th of July.
I do want to move the 4th of July, however.
And the name of that holiday is the 4th of July.
I'm not saying I'm being consistent in my thought on this. Let's go to Jay, the intern, for his thoughts. Should we put Halloween on the last Saturday of the month?
No, I don't find any reason to.
Well, there you go.
Jay Doherty is a young man who goes to Latin High School in Chicago. He's a high schooler who helped us out. Was it last summer?
Yes, last summer.
And now you're back again this summer. You have been our intern again. Jay, I don't want to dwell on this, because maybe you'll be our intern again, so I don't want to give the same speech over and over again. But you do such a good job, especially for someone who has as little experience in the industry as you do. You are remarkably competent and capable.
He was your Gator reporter.
And so, Steve, did you notice the hat I'm wearing?
Yeah, the Lacoste hat.
You didn't even get it when I came in wearing the hat.
Is that an alligator reference?
He gave me this hat today.
Nice,
as a way of saying thank you for putting him on the radio during the alligator story.
Well, you know, whenever I come into the office, my spidey sense goes off, and I can tell when Jay is here, because the maturity level of the entire station is up a little bit.
How old is he, though?
He is 16?
15.
Well, do you remember what you were? Do you know what you were famous for here last year?
What was I famous? No, I don't remember.
Steve, do you remember what he was famous for last year? Are we all thinking of the same thing?
I think I know.
I don't know what you're thinking.
Is it Dinkles?
No, it's the brief. Well, for me, it was
Donuts?
The briefcase.
Oh yeah.
I didn't. Yeah.
You didn't bring the briefcase this year.
I have a bag. Like, it wasn't ever really a briefcase. There's, I think someone called it that.
Well, you had an old man's
briefcase. Yes.
It looked like a little tiny suitcase.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't see it this year, but you've still brought your competence and your sincerity, and we sure have appreciated working
with
you.
Is this it for Jay?
I think it's today
no,
the last day, Jay?
It is not.
It's my last. Listen to Elif. That's a producer who appreciates his help. But it's my last day, because I'm taking vacation next week. So Jay and I get to say nice job and so long today on the radio. But you'll still stick around next week.
Oh, yeah. And then hopefully I'll be back next summer, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll find somebody we like more.
And thanks for the cookies.
Yeah. So that's what Elif was thinking about. He's brought cookies in. This is like, I knew the guy was learning this summer when on the last day he gives me the gift of the alligator hat, because he was our alligator reporter, and he brought cookies for the staff. If you learn nothing, learn that. If you give the staff treats, they will like you, be nice to you, and remember you.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Okay, any last thing you want to say just on our show today? What have you learned this summer, Jay?
I've learned a lot. I like the process. I admire, obviously, your hard work and Elif and all the producers, seeing how everyone can interact and work together very well. And basically just thank you to everyone at WGN.
Who do you think you admire most, Jay?
It's a hard question. I admire everyone equally.
I'll take that as a me.
That was Elif suddenly catching a little something in her throat. Let's hit the music, Elif. Nice to work with you, Jay. We'll see you next summer.
Thank you very much.
3, 2, 1, go. Just Vampire Weekend?
No, but it sounds like them, doesn't it? It's Lord Huron.
Sounds like Vampire Weekend meets Camera Obscura, actually, if you ask me.
Yeah, I can hear that too.
This is really nice.
So if you want to see them, they're playing the Chicago Theater tonight. Tickets start at $46 on Ticketmaster.
Lord Huron, Chicago Theater tonight, $29, metrochicago.com. On Fridays, we do The Bright Side. Call or text right now. Tell us what your good news is. Before that, we like to give you some fun things to do in a segment we called Fun Things to Do. Hey, Lapka, are you listening over there at the Blackhawks convention?
I am.
All right, you go, girl. What have you got?
Wicker Park Fest is all weekend, starting today at 5, goes to 10, and on Saturday and Sunday it's 12 to 10, but a bunch of national and local acts on 4 different stages. That's over on Milwaukee Avenue, and it'll pretty much be the best in music, food, arts, fashion, kids entertainment, and even shopping. So if you want to avoid crowds, you should go early, but you there's also a suggested donation to go there.
Glencoe's got the Festival of Art from 10 to 5 tomorrow and Sunday, downtown Glencoe on Vernon Avenue. Festival, the big art fest in Glencoe is this weekend. And the Classic Music Festival is tonight, starting at 6:30, and tomorrow starting at 7:30 at Grant Park. That's a big do. It's going to be beautiful this weekend. Get your tickets at grantparkmusicfestival.com. Lapka, what else is good?
Well, of course, the Blackhawks Convention, 12th annual, also all weekend at the Hilton Chicago. A bunch of current players, old players, alumni, just people with the organization. Pretty much 1,000 things to do. Just looking in this room, I can spot about 20, and I'm just in one room. But it's a lot of fun, especially for Blackhawks fans, or even just hockey fans. It's a really exciting time to get pumped for the season, even if it is a few months away.
They're doing a big thing in Millennium Park, too. If you head downtown, you'll see this. Lights, camera, napkin. It's a gourmet event. A gourmet event at Millennium Park. The tickets are free. It says free tickets at do312.com. Go to do312.com for more information. Lights, camera, napkin, gourmet food at Millennium Park. Give me maybe one or two more.
So Chicago Bears training camp is also this weekend. You can go watch if you want to. If you'd rather get excited for football than hockey, you can go to Bourbonnais. It is free, but you do have to register online to visit. So I know a lot of people are very excited about this upcoming season. I think it's going to be packed there, but also something really fun to do.
It's amazing to me how this town, you'd think we'd won the Super Bowl last year. We should have been in the Super Bowl last year. We weren't, but this is a football town. Front page of the sports section today is big picture of Chicago Bears. It's they haven't even are they practicing yet? It's the season hasn't started, but the coverage has been every day.
Oh man, everyone's so excited, and yeah. I don't blame them. I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. Got one.
There's
more
also the Lake County Fair if you're into that. It's pretty much everything ag. You got livestock bars, beer garden, monster truck show, petting zoo, food, banana derby racing, cheese making demonstrations, a tractor parade, rides and games, just about everything. That's also all weekend. I actually started earlier in the week, and it opens at 8 a.m. every day. The events start at 10, but the main gate opens at 8. And tickets range from free, depending on, you know, age and active military members, to $35.
Lord Huron, Chicago Theater tonight, 8 o'clock. If you can still get a ticket, metrochicago.com's got them. You going to do the Bright Side of Life with us, Lauren Lapka?
Sure.
She's at the Blackhawks Convention. Call or text 312-981-7200. Give us some good news. Yeah, I think we did. Should I read this and then we'll do the Bright Side? And Lapka over at the Blackhawks convention, are you able to read the texters, by the way?
I am.
Okay, groovy. So 312-981-7200. Call or text. We will hand out some Bright Side of Life pins, courtesy of our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. They're beautiful yellow and orange. They're very bright. They got a big smile sun on there. They say Bright Side. And maybe we'll throw one your way, too. Call or text right now. By the way, MyPillow has rolled out the best deal we've ever put on radio or TV, for that matter. Right now, you can get a two-pack of MyPillow premium pillows for just $69.98. That's $34.99 a pillow. Call 1-800-299-9579. Visit MyPillow.com. Either way, the promo code you want to type or say is WGN. It's a deeper, more restful sleep. It's got a built-in cooling effect, too. The pillow's engineered so that the heat exits more easily from around your body, and that means you sleep cooler and better at night. You feel better the next day. Now, you're going to want to, when you go to the website, click on the radio special button, and then use the promo code WGN, or tell them WGN to get these two pillows for $69.98. Wow. And remember, it comes with a 60-night money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-299-9579, 1-800-299-9579, or visit MyPillow.com to get the MyPillow special. Hey, is Kevin going to whistle, Lauren?
You don't see him, but I don't see him, so maybe he's just really loud that he could whistle from afar. I'll let you know if he does.
I think you're going to have to pick up the slack here.
But I'm so bad.
Grumble, give a whistle.
Sing it home now.
And this'll help things.
312-981-7200. What's making you smile?
And always look on the bright side of life.
That's probably better than
always
my last,
look
right?
On the light side of life.
I'll try it.
If life seems
so good at it.
All right, here we go. Let's take some phone calls. 312-981-7200. Tell me why you're smiling, Candace. You're on WGN. Give me some good news, Candace. You're on the air.
I'm off work for 2 hours early, and I'm on vacation next week doing a road trip with three of my siblings.
And you're already 2 weeks, 2 hours in, are you?
I am.
I'm glad you shared that with us. Have a great vacation. Life is quite absurd, and death's the final. Hey, Mark, you're on WGN. What's your bright side? You're on the air, Mark.
We're headed north again, but more importantly, my little girl is going to have a baby.
So always look on the bright side of life.
Lauren Lapka, read a text. What have you got?
How about I read three? They're all related to hockey, so good vibes. 773, our bright side is we won tickets to the Hawks convention from the John Williams Show. Woo! So thank you, King John.
Hooray.
And the team. Mm-hmm. 331 says bright side, getting together with family tonight and tomorrow, and Blackhawks convention on Sunday. And 847 is simply saying that they're thankful that hockey is back.
And that's to love and smile and dance and sing.
Hey, Kathy, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, I just saw the big boy engine 4014 steam locomotive engine go by in downtown Lombard with tons of coworkers and friends. It was awesome. Awesome but loud.
I heard about it on the Steve Cochran Show today. It's on its way to West Chicago, right?
Yes, it is. It's 144 feet long, the engine. It's loud but awesome. It's a must-see.
It's here from Wisconsin. It was built in the 1940s, and it is the size of a 737.
Yes, I did read that online.
It's amazing. This is a steam locomotive. It's in Chicago. So where is it right now?
It passed through here, Lombard, about an hour and 15 minutes ago. So its destination is West Chicago, as far as I know.
How about that? Thanks for calling. I'm glad you saw it.
Oh, it was so awesome. Thank you for taking my call.
How about that, Lauren Lapka? What have you got?
708 says their special needs son is receiving a humanitarian award from Marcus Theaters for all of his volunteering. Very exciting.
By the way, I'm taking next week off and sometime the week after that, so you'll hear various voices, John Hansen and Pete McMurray and others. Thanks to them for filling in. I'm really looking forward to our trip. Brenda and I are traveling with some WGN listeners. We're going to be in France. Hey, Robin, you're on WGN. You're on the air. What's your bright side?
Hey, I am so excited
excited to get on the air, number one. And number two, I'm excited for my daughters. I've raised them to spread their wings and fly to where their life direction leads them. And they've both completed college. They now, one has moved to Atlanta, Georgia. One is to Appleton, Wisconsin. And they both start jobs, new jobs, next week. I am a very, very proud mom.
Amen, Mom. Good job. Thanks for the call. Hey, Karen, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Karen?
I am so lucky. I have a trifecta. My grandson is in the final game of the World Series for his Little League. I'm going to my granddaughter's ballet recital. And my mom finally is getting the treatments that she had to wait 2 months for. So they finally got the medicine. So it's a good day.
When you're feeling it. About that. Pat, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Pat? You're on the air.
Hello, John. I am so excited. I just finished my treatments at the knee and joint, the bone and joint center in Oak Brook, and I feel 16 again. And I sent my brother to have shots in his shoulder.
Oh, no kidding. Now, there's a bunch. Are you talking about the Joint Relief Institute? Or
yes,
the,
I am.
They're the
yes.
ones. Oh, well, let's give you the Bright Side of Life pin then, shall we?
Oh, thank you.
That was easy. Here we go. Everybody, let's make sure Pat gets the Bright Side of Life pin in there, Jay. You writing that down? And how about Paul? You're on WGN Radio. Paul, why are you smiling? You're on the air.
Hey, I'm smiling, John, because my brother hasn't seen me act in, like, years, and he's going to come see me act in a play this Sunday, coming up from Homewood all the way up to the Woodstock-Crystal Lake area.
Ah, you got a show in Woodstock, huh? What's the name of the show?
It's called Mornings at 7, and I've got a whole ton of lines.
What's the part so folks can listen for and look for you when they go up there?
I am playing Homer, who is a 40-year-old mama's boy who's been engaged for 7 years and is finally bringing his fiancée home to meet his family.
Hey, let me get you a Bright Side of Life pin, too, and congratulations. I'm glad your brother's going to see you perform.
Thanks so much.
Stay right there. You must always fight. I don't know who that was. One of the lines. Lauren Lapka, you got another one to read?
I got a great one. 847 says their son starts business school at the University of Iowa next month, and we are so incredibly proud of him. I'd love to sneak a Bright Side pin into his supplies.
Okay, write that number down. Can you see it on the screen?
I got it.
All right, we'll make sure we do that. One more from you, Lauren, then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, 563 says they are heading to Minneapolis this weekend for fun with mom and friends.
Hey, Sue, you're on WGN Radio. What's your bright side? You're on the air.
Hey, John, I just became an empty nester.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is. I'm very proud and very happy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe a little sad, but it's okay to just click your heels as their car disappears in the distance. You're an empty nester
right
now.
Yes, I am.
Happy days. Thanks for the call, Sue.
Thank you.
Oh, let me sneak in Eric. He's been holding for a while. Eric, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Eric?
Hey, John, I have to admit, when the bright side came on, I usually turned it off because last June my wife was diagnosed with ALS. But a year later, we're finally driving home a brand new mobility van to give her a little bit more freedom of getting in and out and around the city.
I know sometimes it's hard to look on the bright side, isn't it? But here you are calling in. I'm so happy for you guys. And that van's going to make a world of difference, isn't it?
It sure will. It's going to make it a lot easier to travel.
Glass is half full when you think that way, my friend. This is silly, but I'm going to give you those bright side pins. If it puts a tiny little corner on your smile, I'll appreciate it, okay?
Thanks a lot, John.
Stay there, Eric. You get the pins, too. We do this on Fridays. We say, call in. Just tell us something in your world that's making you smile. And if you're happy, we're happy, too. We'll do it again next Friday. Thanks to our friends at the Joint Relief Institute for getting you those pins. Ro and Anna are not in Studio A.
Oh, we are here indeed, John.
Hi,
John.
What's the crowd? Is it open officially, or are you there before the grand opening?
It is opening in right now.
It's opening
it
in right now.
It just opened in right now, 3 o'clock. So the doors are going to swing open, and people are going to be running in.
Running in like they do at Comic-Con, just trampling people as they go, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And yeah, we're going to have, I don't know if you're hearing, I'm making some phone calls. You got the Zamboni. We're in Salon. What are we in? Salon A.
Salon A.
Yeah. There's a guy.
Thank you, Cochran.
There's a guy standing. Who is that guy standing?
That sounds like Cochran.
That's Steve Cochran. You met him before.
I saw that your schedule.
Sure, Cochran, you know Cochran Steve.
Cochran doesn't come
on
until
the opening ceremonies.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't quite sure who.
He and Dave Ennett, in fact. And then afterwards.
Oh, I know Dave Ennett. I'm a huge fan of his. He's on that morning
Go Cats.
Show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that. I'm just not sure who's the guy. What?
Why is there a heckler here? We already have hecklers, John.
Your show
just
is complicated enough as it is, Ro. Can you not engage with Cochran while you're doing anything?
I'm trying. John, I'm trying. I'm looking straight ahead. I'm trying.
Well, I know you got a good show planned. I'll tell you what. I'm going to get out of the way. You guys have a great show, and I'm glad you're there. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. And have a great time off.
Yeah, I'll see you in a week or so. Toodles.
All right.